In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who has come after me ranks before me, because he was before me." And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. Who is at the Father's side? He has made him known. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do we say? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptized. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your word as we have read it thus far tonight, and as we have looked through it in these weeks past and continue to do so, we pray once more, Lord, that you would bless this word to us so that we might, again, understand more of how you worked in and through the men in history, how you have used different individuals at different times to accomplish and bring about your good purpose, each one of them only doing a small part in all that you are doing. Each one of them never able to take credit for themselves, but Lord, always trusting in the work that you have done. And we just thank you again tonight for the story that we're looking at, and this account of John the Baptist and the testimony of John the Baptist. Pray this in Christ's name. Again, amen. Beginning of the passage here, and this is the testimony of John the Baptist. Again, directing us to this picture of the proclamation that he had to make of himself. Because we remember that John, as I've stated, was a man of considerable influence by this point. He was a man who people looked upon as prophet. Many were saying that he was indeed Elijah, and many were already at this point looking at him as if he might be the one, that one who was the Messiah. And I've said in weeks past, and want to reiterate this fact, that there were many who were doing just that. Although they weren't the Messiah, they didn't have any sort of complaint, any sort of claim to that. They were making this claim, and this had been going on for some time now. So the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they wanted to find out just who this was. And so they sent their men to see. To see what he would say, because again, this was to make certain claims could bring a criminal charge against you, as we've looked at. And they wanted to know because they were concerned for themselves and their own well-being, because what John had to say was not so much in line with what they were saying. He made complaint against them and their own wickedness. Who are you? Who are you? And then we should just look at that. Because people come up and say to us sometimes even, who are you? Who are you to tell me? I had somebody last week, on Friday night, down at the Art Walk when Tom was down there. Some of you remember Tom. And he was doing his thing and telling people and reminding them of their sinfulness. And this was the complaint of one of the ladies. Who are you to tell me? I'm a sinner. I'm a good Christian. I'm a member of the Pentecostal church. And did not perceive herself as all as a sinner. So we have this sort of wording coming at different times, in different ways. Who are you? Paul asked out of Jesus, who are you? What's happening here? They're asking this here of John because they really didn't know who he was. Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. I like the way that this is even worded there. It makes it very clear that he confessed. He's making this truthful statement, I am not the Christ. Just in case you're thinking I'm the Christ, I'm not. Because he knew what some of them were thinking. He'd heard what some of them were saying and probably even heard from some of his own disciples. Remember that he will later direct them. This one. This is the one you've been waiting for, not me. I'm a herald. I'm a proclaimer. I'm making straight the road before him so that he can enter in and take his rightful place. Now, I remind you, this was a common practice in that day. When anybody of any greatness would come into a place, there was somebody, a group of people that would come before him, clearing the road, making it so that if they were on a type of wagon, that the wagon did not hit bumps, didn't have to go over stones. This was all smoothed out. If somebody was carrying them, they would not trip. This was set to make it say, this is someone who is great and deserving of this sort of treatment. Clearing the way. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, nope, not him either. Interestingly, if you turn over to Matthew 11, I don't even know if John knew exactly who he was. Messengers from John the Baptist. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word to his disciples and said to them, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? think I'm reading from the wrong part here.
I am.
Verse 11. Thank you. I wanted to read that first part, but I was looking for a specific part. Let me go ahead and read that. And he sent by word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And as they went away, Jesus began to speak of the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed up in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those of women who have arisen, no one greater, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence takes by force, for all the prophets of the law prophesied until John. And if you were willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear." John is saying, "No, I'm not Elijah at this time before." Christ is saying, "He is indeed this spirit of Elijah. This one who is to come in the same way." Because if you remember, the prophet Elijah was not what we would call a kind and gentle man. He was not a soft man. He was a hard man who was hardened by many things that had taken place. And so we see this picture. Are you Elijah? I'm not. Well, then you must be the prophet. So they asked that question. Are you the prophet? And that is the same prophet that they spoke of in Deuteronomy 18:15. You can look at that. This prophet, this picture of one who is yet to come, who's going to be greater than Moses. Because remember, to many of the Jews, Moses was still it. Moses was the one. Well, right next to Abraham. But they had set up their own sorts of saviors. And remember that Moses himself was a type of Messiah. He was that one that God used to lead out his people. But he was just that. He was a type. He wasn't the Savior. And John answered that question, though, the same way. No. So they said to him again, the same question they started out with. Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? What do you say when somebody asks you this? What do I have to say about myself? He said, "I am a voice. One crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was given a special ministry. He was given a unique ministry in a very unique period of time. Remember, they had not heard from God, as I mentioned, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago. For some hundreds of years, there was a silence. God had withheld himself from his people. And now we have this one coming out, proclaiming, obviously, with a sense of great authority, of the need for repentance, of making the way the straight, making the way of the Lord straight, calling God's people, repent of your sin, for that time of the Lord is at hand. It wasn't that time of judgment as we see it in the clearest sense of the word. But it was, in the greater sense, the time of the coming of the Lord. Coming of the Lord for calling His people to Himself. This coming of the Lord in a quite unique manner. To save people. To proclaim Himself. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah had said. The prophet, again, there were many expectations that we see during the first century Jews concerning the prophet. And again, Moses has announced this in Deuteronomy 18:15. And here the priests and the Levites want to know if John even considers himself to be a prophet of this sort. And although he makes it clear that I am crying out, I am a voice crying out, and I am proclaiming as God has directed me, he's not proclaiming to be that prophet. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. Let me back up. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. How many of us think of ourselves in that light? How many of us should think of ourselves in that light? We're living in a barren wasteland, as it would be, where the weeds grow up all around us. We're in a spiritual wilderness. And when we look at John and we look at the life of John, we know that he was a very unique character that grew up in a very unique fashion, that he had spent a good deal more time in solitude than many, that he had some strange ways of dressing, that his food was not quite the same as many, and that he had a way of speaking that would cause people to consider. How many of us are even attempting to be like a voice of one crying out in the wilderness? Make straight the way of the Lord. Be ready. The Lord's coming. Because this was the proclamation here. Get ready. In fact, he even states, he's even here among us. And we can say the same thing. He's even here among us, but something even greater is going to happen. A time's coming when he's coming. And again, not to make emphasis on all the great debates that are going on in this late time in May, as we see the prophecies on the billboards, the end is coming, the end is coming. We shouldn't be that type of proclaimers, but always making it clear that the day of the Lord is at hand. Whether it's for the world, it may not be the case, but it might be for you. As we deal with people in our day-to-day lives, we need to be crying out the same way that John did. And I don't mean crying, not screaming to people, but speaking to people, talking to them, allowing them to know their need for repentance. Because without repentance, there is no salvation. And without salvation, there is only eternal damnation. And we don't give that nearly as much thought as we need to. I think that some of us have become universalist in our thoughts or in our emotions. We kind of think sometimes, well, we know they're going to hell, but maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he'll let some of them out in a couple million years. By the way, this is new teaching that's going out. Ron Bell. I'm not sure it's Ron. No last name Bell. And I know it's an old teaching that's coming out again from within some quasi-reformed circles, that everybody's not going to suffer forever and ever. That this God of mercy will show grace even to the most wicked in time. Now, we know that this is a lie. We proclaim it's a lie. And yet, practically, we sometimes, I think, act as if this is the case. Because either that, or we're so hardened in our own hearts against those who don't know God, and we don't care about them at all, or we couldn't help but to do the same sort of thing that John did. He committed his life to making this proclamation. It wasn't just a proclamation of he's coming, but this was a proclamation of repentance. If we don't have the heart for that, then we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that there's a need for repentance at all? When many of us still have families and friends that we've never seriously sat down and talked to about the things of God, about their own need for repentance, about their own eternal destiny. Well, let me go on. I know I seem to beat you up sometimes with this. I do that simply because I believe that the Bible teaches us this is part of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be just, as I said this afternoon, looking out for our own best interest, trying to make ourselves as comfortable as we can in the nicest neighborhoods we can place ourselves. But going where God leads us and directs us, and going with a reason, with a purpose. Not so that I can find this pleasure or this delight in this thing or this place, but so that I might be of use to God and His kingdom. So that I might be used for what He's left me here for. I really don't mean to clobber people, as I use the phrase today. I don't want to clobber people. But I want to cause you to think. Are we making the same proclamation? Make straight the way of the Lord. He's coming. He's coming. Or are we just concerned with everything else? Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Remember, when we say the Pharisees, here's the thing. We say the word Pharisee, it's almost like the Christian swear word, the Pharisees. These were the evil, wicked men. But we know that each and every Pharisee wasn't as wicked as some of them. There were men in that group who loved God. There were men who actually wanted and waited to see the Messiah come. There were some of these who may well have repented. You know, when we see the word, we don't want to judge it. It's like going, oh, they're the Christians. They're the Jehovah Witnesses. As some people in the world think, you say that word and it means we're all exactly the same. Remember, they hadn't come to hate Christ quite yet. They hadn't come to know Christ yet. They were just wondering, what are you doing out there in the middle of the desert all this time? And what are you doing now here doing this? They asked him, then why, if you're not Christ or Elijah or the prophet, what are you doing baptizing? Where'd you get this authority? What are you trying to accomplish? And John answered them. And he says this, I baptize with water. I'm accomplishing this little work. I'm leading people into this preparation, essentially, for that work that's going to be fulfilled in Christ. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. I've often wondered, because I've seen pictures sometimes that have been drawn or painted over the ages that show Christ in the background. Among you. Does this mean among you right now stands one you do not know? because we know that as we go on, even the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. Or is he just making a proclamation? And we know, again, as I said, that John knew Jesus. But whether he was completely aware of all this, we have so many variables in the Bible where God doesn't answer all of our questions for us. But he says, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not even unworthy to untie his sandal. And these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Pharisees had come. They were looking for an answer. They were looking for something. They may have even been hoping. There might have been something hoping. Are you him? Are you the Christ? We're not quite sure what we're looking for. Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? If you're not the Christ, maybe you're Elijah. We would take Elijah. We'd like Elijah again. I think that's kind of what they were thinking. Either that or we hope you're not Elijah. Or the prophet. Oh, the prophet. We've read about the prophet. Are you the prophet? And he had answered no to all of this. What a blessing, I think, that we forget that we have so often. That we don't have to go off seeking people in the wilderness and in the strange places going, are you the one? Are you him? Because there are people out there who are asking these questions. They're following after strange men and sometimes strange women with strange doctrines and teachings. And I'm not talking just those of Christianity, but those who are proclaiming all kinds of prophets. The Muslims, they think that the prophet's already come. And we know that the prophet has indeed come, but not the one they're thinking of. We need to be, again, people who are about the same sort of business that John was about. He was doing what he was called to do, simply calling people repentance, simply baptizing them with water, and sending them along their way. I'm sure with some strong comments at times on reforms that needed to be made in their lives. We need to be about that same sort of thing. We need to be proactive in our own lives. Of not saying, oh, if only I could find the time. If only I had just an extra week or two of vacation in the year. Someday, I'm going to get around to it. I passed out the round to it this week. You've all seen the round to it. I passed them out to the people and they were going, well, what is that? And I was reminding them, oh, you know that thing you're going to get around, the round to it someday? Oh, yeah, I just used that phrase. We use that phrase, I'm going to do it someday. I'm really going to serve God the way that I think I should be. And my call to you today is then to repent of that. Don't wait until some future day that's never going to end come to get around to it. You know what God has called you to. You know what kind of life He has called you to live. You know what He has called all of us to do as Christians in regards to spreading the good news of Christ as we are able. And far too many people are living their whole lives and then they're looking back when they're my age or a little older and going, I really wish that when I was younger, I would have taken the time. Key word there. I wish I would have taken the time, been proactive in their own lives and used it. Used that one night a week or even that one night a month that I know I couldn't have afforded and I couldn't seem to get away. But I did find time for a lot of other things. I encourage you to repent of that tonight. Even John encouraged the people here to repent of their own stuff, because John the Baptist was doing nothing but making proclamation of who Christ was, that he was coming, that these people needed to be ready. And I'm telling you, you need to be ready. Not that you need to be ready to be saved. You're already saved if you're in Christ. That's an act, is an act of faith and grace. But as you stand before God on that last great day, how do you want to stand? And I say that in the sense of, I know we'll all be on our face. But in the sense of, what do you want to hear? You want to be one of the people to get the well done, good and faithful servant? Because I'm convinced that not everybody's going to hear those words. I don't think that we're all doing as well as we could be. That we're all running the race as hard as we should be. I believe we'll all be saved if we're in Christ. But I believe that there will be special blessing for people just in hearing that. Just in hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. So I call you tonight. Well, I don't call you. God calls you to be faithful in that which He has set apart for you in your life. Different callings and vocations that you have. But in those very things, to recognize your own ability to be at least proactive in this area. If nothing else, if you're one of those people who is afraid to open up your mouth and talk to people about the things of God, be praying for the people that God has placed you with. Those people that are at your work, or at your school. The people that are sometimes in your own homes that don't know Christ. Sometimes we just like to complain about all these godless people when God has given us every opportunity to reach out to them in different ways. Not many of us will be like John the Baptist. Not even many of us preachers get to be hellfire and brimstone preachers. Not most of us get to be great orators and men who are the most theological men of the day. But we are all given a calling to call people to Christ. So this week, again, I encourage you to take your time in your prayer. Take your time as you're reading through the Proverbs. Take your time and your daily time with God and ask Him. Just simply ask Him, God, what is it that You would have me do? Now I can tell you, before you ask the question, what is it that You would have me do? You won't have to turn far in these pages before you will find God telling you some of the things that He would have you do.